God together. And I'll read just a couple of verses and probably preach through this. Really, I'll probably just make more or less a running commentary tonight of the chapter that I want to preach in. Say a few things about it. I will not be long, I'll assure you that. And I will not be strong. I won't be long and I won't be strong. But I'll give you what I got and we'll go to the house, okay? And trust God to help us with this. And it's something I want to really go easy with. I mean that because of the subject I'm preaching on. And I wouldn't want anybody to take what I say out of context. And I wouldn't want to offend anybody in what I'm preaching. And I want to say this because of where I'm preaching. What I'm preaching on, I'm not just looking at preachers. I'm talking to this church, this congregation of people. And so, having said that, you can turn your Bible to the book of Jonah and chapter number 1. The book of Jonah and chapter number 1, if you would please, tonight for the reading of the Word of God. If you got a Schofield Bible, that's page 943 in your church Bible as well, if it's got the Schofield text in it. The book of Jonah and chapter number 1. Everybody in the book of Jonah, chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." I'm going to stop reading right there. For a reason, and then we'll pray and try to get let you be seated. We'll try to get right into the message tonight. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the evening hour and the opportunity we have to be here. I do pray that you'll bless our hearts in the Word of God, that you'll help us tonight, Lord, to walk in Thy ways and be totally obedient to the Word of God. Help us to do the best we can, Lord, to stand in faith and stand strong. Pray that you'll grace our hearts tonight with your divine presence. Do help those that are sick, those that are away from us. Bless them, I pray. Give us good grace tonight now and divine help from thee. Help every heart that's here, every family that's represented here tonight and those listening by the radio as well. May your blessed and holy name be magnified and lifted up. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach tonight on this thought, of who caused it all? Who in the world caused all the trouble that took place in Jonah chapter number 1? Well, before we ever get anywhere, I want to say that's not hard to recognize. The man that caused it all was Jonah. But sometimes it's not that easy to recognize when there are troubles in the house of God and problems in the house of God. It's not always that easy to recognize who the responsible party might be. I'll say more about that in just a moment. I want to say that it doesn't take a lot of people to put a halt on the march of God. Just one person many times can put a halt on the march of God. But you know, there have been some scholars that's spoken on the book of Jonah, and they've tried their best to discredit the book of Jonah because of the miracle of the great fish. And their ideology is that it's impossible for a whale to swallow a man. In fact, when you say whale swallowed Jonah, they say the Bible doesn't say that. It says a great fish. Well, it does say a great fish in the book of Jonah. But if you go to the book of Matthew, it talks about a whale swallowing Jonah. And in fact, it's the Lord himself. It's kind of hard to deny the book of Jonah and its reality and its truthfulness. When the Lord himself testified in Matthew 12:40, when he said, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, it's kind of hard to deny the truth of this book, the reality of it, and being canonized in the Word of God when the Lord himself testifies to the truth of it. And in a sense, Jonah is a type of the Lord Jesus that died and spent 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. and rose again for our justification. Aren't you glad he got up out of the grave? I want to thank him one more time. And I'm not serving a dead Savior. I'm serving a live one that died and rose again for our justification. And I'm looking for him the second time. And he says all those that look for him the second time, he will return again without sin unto salvation. I'm rejoicing in that. I'm waiting that day. I'm longing for that day when the Lord will come back for you and I and carry us out of this sin-cursed world. I'm longing for that day. And then also the people of Nineveh could very well be a type of the nation of Israel, a nation that shall be born in one day through the preaching of the prophets. A nation will be born, the Bible says, in one day. And Israel will be. As of now, they don't even believe in the Messiah. They don't believe in the Christ. They don't believe that Jesus was the Christ. I had the opportunity just a few days ago, a week or so ago, really, to witness to a fella up in Evansville, a Jewish fella by the name of Solomon. And I tried my best to convince that man that Jesus was the Christ. But I didn't have as much, I guess, faith or as much grace about me or as much knowledge of the Scriptures as what Paul did. Paul was able to convince him that he was the Christ. But I was unable to convince Solomon. He's still satisfied in his heart. I witnessed to him several years ago. He's still satisfied in his heart that Jesus is not the Christ, or was not the Christ, and that Christ has never been upon this earth. But you and I know that God took upon him flesh as a man and was born of a virgin and came into this world as a Christ child, the Son of Man as well as the Son of God, all man and all God, to rescue us from our sins. So I don't have any doubts in my heart or my mind at all about the book of Jonah and about the truth of it. And no, you won't either if you believe the Bible. Now, God deniers might have a problem with it. But I'm not a God denier, and I'm certainly not a Bible denier. Somebody asked me one day, said, do you believe everything the Word, the Bible teaches? I said, you sure do. And they said, well, I heard you say something so-and-so day that wasn't right. I said, well, I didn't say I said I knew it all. I just said I believed it all. I may not know it all, but I do believe it all. I'm not right on everything. But what I don't know, I still believe whether I know it or whether I don't know it. I still believe that it is the Word of God. Now, I want to look quickly tonight at Jonah's disobedience. And I'll tell you, that's very important. The disobedience of this man of God. The Bible said in verse 1, I'll read these again. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, you would think that any preacher would jump at a minute. I mean, he wouldn't take long to obey the Lord if God's calling to preach. Right. And knowing that the Lord's going to send revival to those people and deliver them from the power of sin, a man that knows the Word of God would jump right on that, but not Jonah. He was in disobedience to the Lord. For the Bible said, but Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. He wasn't going to Nineveh. He was going to Tarshish. And he was running from the presence of the Lord. Now, he clearly heard the Lord speak in verse number 1. There's no doubt about it. You know, I'll tell you, it's one thing to be disobedient to the Bible, but it's another thing, ladies and gentlemen, when we're clear about what the Word of God says. When the Word of God is spoken, and we know that it's spoken, and don't have any problem with that, that's when the trouble comes in. He clearly heard the Lord speak. For the Bible said in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. When it said it came unto Jonah, that tells me that Jonah heard it loud and clear. He didn't have to ask twice, what did you say, Lord? He knew very well what the Lord meant. The Lord didn't get up off your blessed assurance and get down to Nineveh and preach against the sin of that city that they might repent of their sins and be saved by the grace of God. But not Jonah. He was so jealous of the Gentiles that he wouldn't go. He didn't want to go. He was a Jew and he didn't want to go. And so that brought him to a place of rebellion and disobedience to the Lord. And rather than going to Nineveh, he returned and went toward Tarshish and got on a ship going toward Tarshish. Now, he clearly heard the word of the Lord, and he had perfect understanding of the Lord's will. He didn't have to wonder what God wanted him to do. The Bible said in verse 2, he said, arise, the Lord does, and go to Nineveh, that great city, a great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. I marvel at that. Here is a city that is full of sin. You'd think that God wouldn't have any problem, and I don't suppose he would, going to a city that was full of people that are good, if there are any. But here is a city that's not just a city of wickedness, but this is a city that is full of wickedness. It's a great city. And their wickedness, he said, has come up before me. This would be something like, and I'll tell you this lightly, New York City or Los Angeles, California, and the Lord telling a preacher, I want you to go to Los Angeles and cry aloud against the sin of that city, for their wickedness is great. Amen. And knowing all the time that when you do that, God is going to send a revival into that city, and there's going to be thousands. In fact, all of them from the king down went on a fast in Nineveh and repented, and God spared that city after Jonas finally submitted to God and went to that city after 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale, and he got up and went and preached the word of God, and they did repent and get right with God. And that's one of them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God would tell some of us today to go to Los Angeles or New York City? That'd be a tough job to do. I mean, if the Lord told me, now I want you to go to Harlem, and I want you to cry aloud against their sin. Now, boy, I'm going to tell you, that'd be hard for a fellow like me to do. But you know something? If the Lord gives us the liberty to do it, if the Lord calls us to do it, he's given us the liberty to go. He's given us the power to follow his command and to see the work done that God wants done in that city. And I marvel at Jonah that he would not go. But instead of going, he got up and ran from the presence of the Lord in the opposite direction. Boy, I'll tell you, isn't that like a lot of Baptists today? They hear the word of the Lord. They know what God's saying. They understand what God's saying. But rather than flee to the Lord, they'll flee in the opposite direction and try to run away from God. I won't stop right there and say a minute. You're not going to run away from God. Jonah tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. You're not going to get away from the presence of God. You make your bed in hell, he's going to be there. You ascend into heaven, he's going to be there. I don't care where you go, God's going to be there. You're not going to run from God. He can catch you wherever you run to, and whatever corner you try to hide in or whatever bed you try to crawl under, he is able to find you there and to root you out. He did Jonah, and he will anyone else too. And so Jonah clearly understood. He had full understanding of that. He had perfect. He had willfully sinned against light. He willfully sinned against light. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, that's a sad commentary. I want to slow down right there. It's sad to sin against light. Because the Lord, he doesn't have to give you that light again. I'll say this, if God speaks to our heart from his word, we better do business with God right then. Because he certainly does not have to pass by our way anymore. When God speaks, I'm going to tell you, buddy, we better stand up and listen and be obedient to what God says. It is a dangerous thing to willfully sin against God. For a man that willfully sins against God, the Bible said he's trampled the hallowed blood of the Son of God under his feet. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous thing. And I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be caught being guilty of trampling the Lord's blood under my feet, not for one minute. But in essence, that's exactly what Jonah's doing here, and yet God later showed him mercy, and we'll find that out in just a little while. Now, he tried to distance himself from the Lord. He tried to distance himself from the Lord. He tried to move away from the presence of the Lord. And the direction his disobedience led him is in verse number 3. The Bible said in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And notice, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here is twice that Jonah in his journey, in his disobedience of God, The Bible said that he went down and then he paid his own fare. Then he went down even further into the ship. And when he gets further than that, further along than that in just a moment. But you know, that's the way sin will lead an individual. It'll take you down. Then it'll just take you further down. And it'll keep on taking you down until you get right with God. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times people have to hit rock bottom before they can ever get right with God. And the thing about that is you don't have to get that way. God is ready and willing and able to forgive the transgressions of people if they're willing to come to Him with a repentant heart, in love, looking to Him for mercy. They'll find mercy if they'll come to the Lord in the right way and repent of that sin. God will cleanse them of that sin and all unrighteousness. He surely will. But he just went down. He went down and he had to pay his own way. Now, I'm going to say, when you're running from God or in sin, God's not going to pay your way, friend. God's not going to pay for you to sin. He didn't Jonah. Jonah paid his own fare. Now, I'll tell you, I believe if Jonah turned around and went the other direction toward Nineveh, I've got a feeling there might have been somebody standing there along the dock that might have slipped him a few bucks to pay for his fare down there. But there wasn't nobody there to slip him a dollar bill to help him along the way. He had to pay his own fare. And I'm going to tell you, you'll pay your own way too. And I'm going to tell you, when we have to pay our own way to sin, it's not going to be a pleasant experience in the end. For none of us. Not you, not me, not anyone else. Not any other preacher, not people, or not anyone else. Now, listen very carefully. Then God sent out a great wind. God sent out a great wind from the Lord. It's what it says there in verse number 4. It said, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Now, I marvel at that. Here's a man running from God, paid his own fare. He's going down. He says he's running from the presence of the Lord. And yet the Lord takes the initiative to send out a great wind. We're going to find in a minute that that great wind that was sent out was for Jonah's benefit. And by the way, I personally believe that that great wind is a type of the Holy Ghost. It created a great storm in the life of Jonah and the life of those mariners. Now, I want to say to you, friend, the Holy Ghost, it doesn't take him long to turn your life upside down. He's got enough power that he can turn your life upside down anytime he wants to. And he did Jonah's. But the sad thing of it is, it wasn't just Jonah that it affected. It affected all those that were in the ship with him. We'll find that out a little more in a minute, too. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can turn your little world upside down about any time he gets ready. And it was the Lord that sent out that wind. You know, and he sent out that wind and created that storm that he might get to Jonah's heart. He's trying to turn that prophet around and get him headed in the right direction. You know, I wonder if there's somebody here tonight, and I'm hesitant to say this, but I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that the Holy Ghost is on your trail. And he's trying to turn you around. He's trying his best to get you headed in the right direction. And you're not willing to go in the right direction. Now, there's some things I could say there. I won't, because I said I wouldn't when I first started. I'd like to, but I'm not going to. But I'm going to tell you, I'm just wondering if there could be somebody here tonight like Jonah. Amen. I mean, we could stand here and say, who caused it all? We could stand here tonight and say, who's causing all the dry services at Island Ford? Yeah. Who's causing the problems we're having? The contention that we have from time to time? Who's causing the deadness at Island Ford? Somebody is. It may be more than one, but it doesn't have to be more than one. It may just be one individual. I wonder who caused it all. Who's causing it all at Island Ford Baptist Church? Yeah. Now, don't get mad at me now. I want you to notice the wind's destruction. It said in verse number 4, the ship was like to be broken. That wind was so strong against that ship that it was about to break up. Amen. And you know, if it broke up, it would have sunk in that sea, in that storm. You know what? It's a sad day. It's a sad day when somebody will allow sin in their heart to run, to get them into a place where it almost has got the church torn apart. Now, I'm going to tell you, if it didn't get right, just like that ship would have sunk in that sea, then that wind, that great wind, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost can sink this one too. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. You better read your Bible. The Bible said that the book of Exodus that he'll remove your candlestick out of its place. That candlestick is a type of the church. He can write Ichabod on any church anytime he gets ready when they stand in disobedience to what the Bible's got to say and reject light and refuse light and refuse instruction from the Lord. Jonah refused all instruction from the Lord, disregarded it completely, and went his own way headstrong toward Tarshish rather than going toward Nineveh. And I'm going to tell you, God said, I'm not going to let you get by with it. Oh, I would to God, God would be merciful to Island Ford Baptist Church. Yeah, it'd be heart-rending.
Yes, sir.
It'd be difficult on all of us, me included. I'm not excluding myself.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, it'd be difficult. It'd be a hard thing if God would just settle in on this place and take our hearts and just turn them upside down. And open them up and pour out all that old vile sin and ungodliness that's in there and help us to get right with God that we might have revival once again. That we might cry out to God, will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? That with thou he might restore unto us the joy of our salvation. I'm going to tell you what, church, we need revival in a real way around here. God's people need revival. This church needs revival. I said a moment ago in the announcements, I believe it was David in the Psalm said, just a little reviving. God sent us just a little reviving. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, just a little is better than nothing. Amen.
Amen.
When you're thirsty, a little bit of water is better than no water at all. Say amen right there. When you're hungry, a little food is better. A crumb is better than nothing at all.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. You may even eat some food if you get hungry enough you didn't think you liked. Some of these kids today, you put something out in front of them, I don't like it. Well, bless God, getting hungry enough and you'll learn to like it.
Amen.
Mama put food out and under us. We didn't say, I don't like that. I'm going to tell you, we knew if we didn't eat that, we didn't get nothing else.
Amen.
And I was eating that, whatever it was, I was eating it.
Amen.
Amen. And Miss Hall made me so mad the other morning. I mean, she burnt me up, buddy. I was madder at her than I've been in a long time. She cooked our breakfast and me and Ben. And she knows she made some French toast and sausage and stuff. And she knows I like blackberry jelly on that French toast. So she made my French toast. She put blackberry jelly on it, made it like a sandwich. I had it on my plate, put some syrup on it, you know. I'm sitting there eating and Benny reaches over and said, Mama said, what's this here? She said, honey, she said, that's a banana on that piece of French toast. And said, I meant to give that to your daddy. And I know I've offended him because it's burnt. And you can smile. Because we caroled all the time about me liking burnt food. She said, I intended for him. See, if I'd eat that, it wouldn't open my mouth. And Benny ate it. And I'm going to tell you, there's some folks, they'll wrinkle up their nose at food. Amen. And I'm going to say something else right there. You may come to the house of God. And the Lord may spread a little table for you that you don't exactly like what field you're dining in. But I'm going to tell you whatever field you're dining in, it is the Word of God. And it's good whether you believe it or know it or not. It's good whatever it might be. For you and for me both. Whether it's rebuking, whether it's exhorting, whatever it might be, it's good for all of us, ladies and gentlemen. There's no field in that book that's not good for us. Hey, there's no preaching that is biblical that is not good for us.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Thank be unto God. Benny got my burnt French toast and I ain't going to forgive him for it. He ate it. Now notice this. The storm did not affect Jonah only, but every man in the ship. The Bible said in verse 5, then the mariners were afraid. Isn't that the way it is when sin gets in the house of God? It doesn't just affect that person that's in sin. But it's like a cancer that spreads and affects everybody in the whole church. Now somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be? Well, I'm probably getting ahead of myself. If I do, I'll just repeat myself. But you take Achan. When Achan took the accursed thing and then buried it in his tent.
Yeah.
He didn't even have it at the house of God. He had it down in his house and had it buried there, had it covered up there. Didn't want anybody to find it. Had the wedge of gold and that garment and so forth. Didn't want anybody to know it was there. But I'm going to tell you what it done. When Israel went up against Ai, they found defeat. They found defeat. And one man stopped the march of an entire nation. And I'm going to tell you, one person can stop the march of a church. One individual can cut off the blessings and the flow of grace and mercy from the hand of God from the church. Just one person. That doesn't always, that's not always that way. But I'm going to tell you, it was in Jonah's way. Jonah cut off the blessings to those men. He brought them into trouble they didn't need to be in. He brought them into trouble that they wasn't expecting to be in and hadn't done anything to be in.
Right.
So they were in there. Somebody may be wondering, my gosh, what's going on at our place? It may be that something's going on in somebody else's place is what the reason what's going on down at your place.
Right.
You'll catch a hold of that after a while now. And you stay in this thing long enough, you'll learn it. Brother Hall's telling you right about it. I've been in it long enough that I know that I'm telling you right about it. Now, it affected everybody that was in the ship. All this time, all this was brought about by one man. And I've already mentioned Achan. I could mention Miriam. I think Aaron had a little bit involved in that. But Miriam stopped the march of Israel, a woman, for 7 days. And I'm going to tell you, Jonah could just as well be a woman as it could be a man.
Right.
And he doesn't have to know. And I'm not, I told you at the beginning, I'm not preaching to preachers. I'm preaching to the church. I wouldn't dare stand up here no more preachers than we got in here and preach something like this tonight and try to preach it to just a preacher. Oh, no. I'm preaching to a church. Miriam stopped the march of Israel for 7 days. God broke her out in leprosy and put her out of the camp. You know why he broke her out in leprosy? He identified her. He identified her as being the one that was had the sin that was causing the problems in the camp. God wanted all of Israel to know who was responsible for what was going on. So he gave her leprosy so they'd know and put her out of the camp for 7 days. And God even told Moses, said, I'll tell you something else. Said she ought to have somebody to spit in her face. I'm going to tell you, that's getting pretty tough. And we don't realize sometimes our sin, just the nature of it and what it can do. I think we forget the nature of sin and how difficult, how wicked it is toward God. And how difficult it is many times to overcome. Now I want to notice also that the cost of this loss, in verse number 5, the Bible said, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and lay and was fast asleep. Now, the cost of their loss, their wares, their cargo, their possessions. Come on now, somebody help me. What they were carrying, this one disobedient man cost them all their wares.
Yeah.
If I could say all their possession, if I can bring it down on our level in the church, it cost the church of all of its precious commodities that God has bestowed upon it.
Amen.
All of them. I could say that it destroyed the praise of the church, and it will.
Yeah.
Sin in the camp, God's not going to let our heart lift up enough to praise,
Amen.
Give Him praise when there's sin in the camp and sin in our heart. They lost that. They had to throw that overboard to try to lighten the ship. I'm going to tell you, I'm afraid we may have thrown a lot of things overboard to try to make the ship a little lighter to keep it afloat. Not realizing that what we're throwing overboard is the cargo that we need to be carrying with us.
Yeah.
We may be throwing over a little faith.
Right.
We may be throwing over a little joy. Not good, and that troubles me. Why would we want to throw away something God gave us?
Yeah.
He's given us the joy of the Lord. Why would we want to throw that away? And He's put praise in our mouth. Why would we want to cast that away?
That's right.
He's given us peace. Why would we want to cast the peace away that God's given us? I don't think we want to. I don't think you want to. I just think it's time that we woke up. That we woke up. Got thoroughly right with God. We might say lost their peace. But I know one thing they did lose for a fact is their power.
Amen.
That one man caused them problems. Somebody said, how do you know that, Brother Hall? Well, because I know it from verse number 13, where it says in the Word of God, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. Jonah done told them to throw him overboard.
Amen.
They said, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. They didn't have the power to bring that ship to land. They were trying to row and row. And I'm going to tell you, the wind was too strong and the waves were too high. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, they were fighting against God. You cannot fight against God. And it just stripped them of their power. They didn't have enough power to get that ship to land. And had they not obeyed Jonah and eventually thrown him overboard, Like he told them to, they wouldn't have made it to land either. They would have been just as disobedient as what he was and fell into the same trap that he was in, and they would have perished in that sea.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God. But they lost all of their possessions that God had given them. They rowed hard. They couldn't bring it to land. And notice during all this, Jonah's spiritual condition. And this is important in verse number 5. The Bible said in the last part of that, but Jonah was going down. There he is going down again. That's the third time he's went down in this chapter.
Amen.
He went down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now he's going down. His spiritual condition is he's sound asleep. Man, here is a storm that is raging. This man is a man of God, and he doesn't even know there's a storm occurring. He lays down and goes to sleep. I'm going to tell you, it's a terrible thing when we get to the point in the house of God where we don't even realize that we've got a problem. That we don't realize that God Himself has sent a strong wind creating a storm in the house of God to try to get us right with Him, and yet we're not getting right with Him. When we're sound asleep and don't even know that it's taking place.
Amen.
And generally the guilty party don't know it. Them mariners knew it.
Amen.
That shipmaster knew it.
Amen.
The mariners knew it. Jonah had no idea what was taking place. You know why? He was sound asleep. Spiritually asleep. That's a dangerous place to get on God. When we lay down and go, Jonah laid down, Elijah laid down and went to sleep. God was merciful to him, brought him a little water and a little bread twice. Woke him up, got him moving on his way. God was merciful to him. God was merciful to Jonah. And I'm going to tell you, when you sleep, you're like those five foolish virgins and those five wise virgins. They all slumbered and slept. So don't tell me that a saved person can't slumber and sleep. I know they can. The Bible said they can. We can all drift off into that la-la land and lose our motivation. We can lose our drive. We can lose that power that we have to keep on pressing toward that mark. We can just lose our desire that we have to really go on and excel and serve the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm about as guilty as anybody else. I'm saying amen to it.
Amen.
Saying amen to it. I'm going to tell you something. We ought to have a desire that we want to excel in the Lord. I'm talking about being as spiritual as we can. Here's a man that ought to be the most spiritual man there, and he's sound asleep, and everybody knows there's a storm in him.
Amen.
It's the way Baptists are today. The guilty party is going to say, well, I don't see nothing wrong. Seems to me like everything's going along pretty smooth. I mean, we're rolling right along. Well, can I say something to you? We're doing good on the back. That building back there is looking good. Brother Stephen has done a fabulous job out here with our drain system. I'm proud of it. Thank God for it. That men are doing a great job back there on the work back there. The hallway's going to be beautiful when Brother Mark gets done with it. And they're doing a great job, but can I say this to you? I don't look at the prosperity of the church in that back room back there.
Amen.
I look at the prosperity of the church and what's going on out here.
Amen.
And what's going on out here ain't a whole lot. I'm going to tell you right now. Amen. I remember the time when these altars would be filled up with people.
Amen.
Trying to find God and for their life and for help in their life. And it ought to be that way again.
Yeah.
We ought to be seeking God on these altars. Get the dust off of them. Get the dust off our Bible. Get our face back in the Word of God and get our nose in that altar. Call unto the Lord while He may be found. Amen. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call unto the Lord and He'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. These things we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. Now, Jonah's spiritual condition, he was fast asleep. He had no idea that the storm was upon them. Now, I want to ask you something. Who caused it all? It's pretty easy to figure out, isn't it? It was Jonah. We knew that before we ever started the message. We didn't even have to play Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, and go through the thing, you know, and try to figure out who it was. The Lord told us where the problem lies before we ever started reading the book.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure sometimes that the Lord don't tell us where the problem lies before we ever have to say anything about it. We know where it's at oftentimes. Not only the preacher, but men in the church, women in the church as well. They know where the problem lies. But the person that don't know is the person that's causing the storm, like Jonah. And you stay right with me, I'll be just a minute. Now they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah in verse number 7. This all took place for Jonah's benefit in verse number 12. He said, for I know that for my sake, this great tempest, get this now, is upon you. For my sake. Now, do you understand what the word for my sake means? Jonah realized there finally that storm and that tempest was upon them for his benefit. For my sake, he said, the storm is upon you. For my sake, God sent this for me to try to help me get right. And he did. Because when they finally threw him overboard, the Bible said that the wind ceased and the tempest ceased. And God had a great fish prepared. And that fish swallowed up old Jonah. Somebody said, that was bad. No, that was good. Boy, it was a wonderful day in Jonah's life when that fish was there. See how God is so merciful to Jonah?
Amen.
God could have, when they throwed him over, the Lord could have let him drown.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, God is merciful to His people.
Yeah,
now, Jonah, in reality, what he said when he told those men, said, hey, I'm guilty. I'm a Hebrew.
Yeah.
I fear the Lord. I'm a prophet. And I'm running from the presence of God. They tried their best to help him and realized they couldn't. They said, what are we going to do? And they cried out to the Lord. Lord, what do we do that we perish not with this man? He said, Jonah said, throw me overboard.
Yeah.
You know what he was saying when he said, throw me overboard? He was saying, I am guilty.
Amen.
He finally confessed to his sin.
Amen.
And when he confessed to his sin, God showed him mercy.
Amen.
And prepared a great fish that swallowed old Jonah up. Now, I'm going to tell you, it took him 3 days and 3 nights to realize that salvation is the Lord.
Amen.
Sure did. But after 3 days and 3 nights down in that whale's belly, them weeds were wrapped around him down in that whale's belly. Now, somebody said, I don't believe that happened. I believe it happened.
Amen.
Somebody said, how'd they stay alive? Friend, is there anything impossible with God? God put him down there for two reasons. To get him thoroughly right and to use him as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, hey, when God finally showed him mercy, when he confessed that and said, hey, throw me overboard into the sea and it'll be calm. And it was calm. He was confessing his sin. And God showed him that mercy. God showed them men that mercy. And in that whale's belly, in those 3 days and three nights, somehow, Jonah come to grips with the Lord.
Yeah.
And the word of the Lord came to him the second time in chapter 2. He'd go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. You know what he done? When that whale went, Jonah hit the ground running.
Yeah.
He didn't tarry. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the Lord gets a hold of your backside one time.
Yeah,
you won't tarry.
Amen.
You'll get on the move where God wants you to get to. You'll do what God wants you to do. You'll be obedient to His Word and what He wants you to be obedient in. You really will. And I could say a lot of things. I said I wasn't going to say it because I really don't want to offend nobody. But I'm telling you, I'm preaching as much to me tonight as I am to you, and I mean that with all my heart. With all my heart. But we thoroughly need to search our hearts. Search our hearts. And make sure that we're not a Jonah and that we've not put a clamp on the prosperity of Island Ford Baptist Church.
Amen.
And it's seeing sinners saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
They're out there lost.
Yes, sir.
Need Christ. And we need the power of God. We need the joy of the Lord. We need His peace. We need to be praying. We need all
Amen.
These things in order to see it get accomplished. And God can accomplish it if we'll just do like Jonah and say, I'm guilty, throw me overboard. When he fell overboard, I wonder what he thought when that whale opened up his mouth and said, I bet old Jonah got excited then, didn't he?
Yeah.
I bet it was dark down in that thing, that whale's belly. You know it was dark. No light at all. The Lord said that Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You think there's any light in the heart of the earth? There wasn't any light in that whale's belly either. He didn't know what was there, what to expect for 3 days and 3 nights. I'm going to tell you what he did do for 3 days and 3 nights. He prayed a whole lot.
Amen.
He confessed a whole lot. But you know the sad part of it is, when after God had showed him mercy, he went into Nineveh and preached, and went out to the edge of the city to see what would become of it, and sat down and got just as rebellious as he was before the whole thing happened.
Amen.
The Bible doesn't ever say that God ever showed Jonah any mercy. God gave him a gourd. He got angry for the gourd. The Lord in turn said, doeth thee well to be angry, Jonah? He got angry with God over a gourd that God gave him and it dried up. He didn't realize, still didn't realize, that God was trying to show mercy to thousands of people.
Amen.
That could not tell their right hand from their left hand. They were that ignorant. But God spared them. And I'm going to tell you, God will spare people today.
Amen.
If they'll just call upon the Lord. Let's stand together.